sit right back, then you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Way to go, Stan. Nice shot. Love it very much.
Why, thank you. Not bad for an old fogey. Someone who ascended from the dirt of the ground.
Oh, I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted because we know no other way.
That's exactly right.
We love it.
And it's a fun topic. And you know, John, in this era of divisiveness, in this era of a divided nation and the politics and everything, We here at Sink the Beagle are going to extend our hand over the aisle.
And out to evolutionists and atheists and people who do not believe in God, because we want to build bridges where we can agree on. And we'll start with what we can definitely agree 100%, because we believe that really atheists and evolutionists who don't believe in God do agree with the Bible on one very big point, Stan.
It's certainly not going to be an awful lot about creation evolution, is it?
Well, no. It's the idea that when you die,
okay,
you die. You're dead. You're dead. Actually,
okay,
the Sadducees agreed too.
The Sadducees, according to the Bible, didn't believe in a resurrection. They believed when you died, you died.
When you're dead, you're dead.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
So, in other words, the life on this earth is all you got. And according to evolutionists, which, yeah, right, you know, they feel that they're kind of weak on the supernatural in this, you know, post-bodily kind of thing. So, we're agreeing with them? Does the Bible agree with it?
Well, I think
we're extending our hand over the aisle and agreeing with Darwinists.
Well, on that one point that when you die, you die. We don't agree on their origins. Mm-hmm. We do agree on the destiny. We don't agree on the eternal aspect of destiny, but we agree on the idea that when you die, you die. I think really, Stan, the trick is to have to go back to the beginning and get the picture of what really makes up a life according to the Bible. And then we will go to get the biblical information on what ends life for the Bible. And then we can put together the correct concept of what the Bible describes death as.
Okay. Well, you know, if we're really talking a little bit about the nature of man, what you and I are made of, you know, what puts us together. Sometimes people think that we have some soul within us, kind of housed in a body, you know. Flimsy material, you know, talking about Yoda in the start. We're not just this stuff here. We're something more special than that. And in other words, some kind of essence circulates through us. Does the Bible say that?
Well, the Bible says we have the image of God, but it doesn't say that we are God.
Okay.
Or that God somehow takes a part of him and sticks it in us at conception. Mm-hmm. What it does say, though, is that God gives us life. And let's go to the text and let God speak for himself. How does that sound?
That's always safe. We're going to take a look at Genesis 2 and the story when God formed man. It says in verse 7 and 8, it says, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being."
You know what?
Or a living soul in the King James.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's another point we can agree on with atheists. They basically claim, or atheists and evolutionists, that we came from dirt. Somehow dirt in the right pond scum, right? Dirt, chemical, mineral stuff, and it'll add a little water in pond scum,
maybe
a shot of juice of something, and poof, there's life. And over time, dirt and time, you have a rock that comes up and goes, woof, 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 puppy. And then eventually it goes, mummy. it goes what you said.
Exactly. And we all came from the dirt. And you know what's kind of funny? The biblical record is that that's exactly what God started with.
But the difference is that instead of some warm pond, pond of
kind of
soup,
Campbell's mushroom soup kind of stuff.
Yeah, with a little bit of green tint of pea soup in there, probably.
Okay.
I don't know what it was in there. And the whole point is that, but instead of coming from nothing becoming something, we have an idea where God formed us out of the earth he already had created, some of the dust, and he comes down and breathes into our nostril, it says, the breath of life. Mm-hmm. Whatever life is, it involves both dust and breath. That's the biblical formula. It takes dust plus breath to equal life as far as it comes to humanity.
Okay, now, so looking at, again, we're going to just take a minute to dive into that verse specifically. It says that God formed man from the dust. So, and the word form means kind of like molded or like, you know,
potter,
put together.
Potter, kind of a potter imagery
exactly.
That the Bible gives us.
Yeah, some of us have pots, yeah. But anyway, and then breathed
and
into
handles,
us.
And handles, too. You got to have a handle on your pot.
Yeah, what are you talking about? But anyway, and breathed into man the breath of life. Now, that may be where we get kind of different ideas. What is this breath of life that God breathed into it? And the word breath means spirit or wind of life.
Mm-hmm.
So what is this breath of life?
Well, whatever it is, it seems to go back to God, according to the Bible, when you die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the return formula found in places like Ecclesiastes and others.
Well, does the lost have their breath of life go back to God, or what's the breath of life then?
The breath of life, everybody has their breath of life go back to God.
Okay.
And so whatever the breath of life is, it's the enabling power that causes that clay, that stuff to be alive. And as the King James, and man became a living soul, mm-hmm. or souls there.
Didn't receive a living soul?
No, he became one. It took both to make a soul. Mm-hmm. We sometimes the word soul, it's used so loosely in our English language, we want to give
poetically
it
even.
Poetically, but the mm-hmm. idea is, oh, that poor soul got hit by a car and was killed.
Or 100 souls went down with that ship or something.
Yeah, and we're not saying the souls are still in the ocean at the bottom of the ship. Mm-hmm. in a sense they are. They died and they went down. That was the person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Bible is saying there in the Hebrew and the Greek idea. It was actually a lie of Satan. Satan said to Eve, you know, if you disobey God, you surely will not die.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever.
God said you would die if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You would die. You would be mortal. You would be subject to death.
That's what mortal means.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bible talks about we are mortal creatures. So when we die, we're dead. Otherwise, Satan was right. Yeah, you don't die. You kind of go float off to this place and you have this soul that kind of floats mm-hmm. off over here. Mm-hmm. The Bible doesn't teach it. The Bible says you're dead. You're not floating anywhere. The only relationships you have after you die are this. There's worms that can probably crawl through your carcass.
Oh.
There's bacteria.
Oh, I don't
there's
need
little,
to hear this.
There's the little bone-eating little things that creep around and mites.
Thank you very much. You know,
if you are preserved like Pharaoh, then you might last a little longer. Or like what we've heard the stories that science puts out for us. Iceman, remember him a few years ago?
Oh, yeah, the guy found up in the Alps in Europe. He was really well preserved in the ice, frozen, and had sandals and some very developed material, cloth, and
he had
and
a
all
cell
that.
Phone, didn't he?
Cell phone, yeah, the battery's dead. He's probably up there saying what, you know, can you hear me
now?
No. He had an advanced, he was more advanced, but anyway, he was preserved. Up in the Andes and other places where there's dry climates, people get their bodies preserved, but, you know, they're still dead. When you're dead, you're dead.
And whether it be bogged or iced or whatever, they're dead. There are no more relationships. Matter of fact, I'd like to go there now. I'm just curious. We have a torpedo text that we have that describes actually Solomon, the wisest man that lived in the biblical times.
Yeah, reflected on death.
And had these words, we believe, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And here's, notice how he describes it.
Ecclesiastes 9:5, it says, "For the living know they will die." Well, we all know that, right? "But the dead do not know anything, nor have they any more a reward, for their memory is forgotten." It says even their love and their hate and their zeal have already perished.
So if your love perishes at
your
death,
your emotions,
your zeal,
your knowledge, your consciousness,
when you're dead, you're dead. The psalmist says their plans perish. You know, when you're dead, you're dead.
And that may be why Jesus referred regularly to death as a sleep, an unconscious estate.
You're unaware of your existence. Mm-hmm. You're unaware of existence. It's not as if there's part of you that's somehow alive and floating somewhere. Now the question is though, Stan, does God know you even though you're dead? Does he know about you and your personality and your character?
That's right. Jesus said to the Sadducees of his day that God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, speaking that in the book of Genesis as though they were still, living kinds of entities in the sense that they have this potential to be still there. They weren't long forgotten. God says, I am still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They will still live. Be with me.
Yes. And the Bible says, well, when do we get with him then? When does death end?
Well, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. I have to go away, go to heaven, John 14, but I'm going to come back and get you. I'm going to make a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you so that when I return, you can be with me. That's a whole point of the second coming, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, there's no point of the resurrection or the second coming unless, I mean, if we're already dead, look at the story of Lazarus in John 11. Why didn't Jesus say, coming up to the tomb, if Lazarus was already in heaven, he was a saved person, why, if his soul was up there, why didn't he simply look up and say, Lazarus, come down?
Well, what if Lazarus wasn't such a nice guy and we didn't know his secret closet life?
Lazarus, come up.
Lazarus, come up, yeah.
Or where are you? No, he simply said, wake up. Come on, forth. Lazarus, come forth. Wake up. You're asleep. Awake those. The day will come when the cry will go forth. Awake. Awake those that are sleeping in the dust.
Yeah, and
Daniel
then,
12.
Well, Jesus talked about the little girl that died, and he goes, she's only asleep, and I go to wake her, or, you know, I'll wake her up. And Paul talks about, don't be afraid. There was the whole church at Thessalonica was worried because all their relatives were dying.
And before
Jesus,
the second coming.
Before the second coming, and they were afraid, oh, Jesus hasn't come back yet like he promised.
What will
and now
happen?
What's going on with them? And Paul says, hey, those who are asleep in Jesus is a term. In other words, they are saved. God knows all about their person and character.
Yes.
When he comes again, it's going to be, they're going to be resurrected. Their next thought, you know, that's why Paul called it in Corinthians 15. It's kind of like a snap of the fingers, a twinkle of an eye. When you die, your next conscious thought is the resurrection. It's like for you, time becomes irrelevant in the grave.
It's kind of like a game on a computer or, you know, one of these computer games where when you're just ready to finish the game, it'll say you want to save it and you hit the save and then you can turn it off and it's gone. It's dead. But when you pop it back on again, it's right where you were. It's just, it was saved.
It was
the information was saved. Wherever you were at that last moment, that was all saved. And you go as though you were, you just turned around and you're continuing on.
But it's a little different there,
though. Okay.
Because the Bible does describe that we have new bodies. Those who are resurrected are given new bodies. They are also given, or if you're alive when Jesus comes, you don't face that first death. You face, you don't actually face the first sleep. Mm-hmm. You actually are given a whole changed body as well.
The mortal must put on immortality.
The perishable must put on things that are imperishable.
Mm-hmm. Better stuff.
Better stuff. So we got
That is good news.
That
John.
Is good news. And that's where we part company with the evolutionist and the atheist who says when you're dead, you're dead. Yes, you are dead physically and you're dead, but you are not forgotten.
You are not
and God,
forgotten.
Who spoke life into existence, spoke when the worlds were created, spoke when everything into existence, can speak and raise you up like that.
And just everything that was you, all that was your encrypted personality, whatever, it's all been saved in God's computer in heaven.
The ultimate makeover.
Yeah.
The ultimate extreme makeover.
That stuff will be injected into that new body that can never die, never age. Amen.
And Jesus says, you'll be known as you've been known.
Okay.
There's the idea that the things that were unique about you remain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we are reaching across the aisle, and we're saying to evolutionists, to secularists, we actually agree with you. The Bible agrees with you that when you die, and that's it. And should there be nothing that God does from that point on, you would no longer exist. But the good news is God has promised that he will come again and will start things all over again with new bodies and a new earth.
That's great. So tune in again to another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.